Hello, welcome. Can have people a couple more minutes to come in. Hopefully you can hear all the Christmas vibes. And if you haven't got yourself a little Christmas drink or a Christmas snack or a festive whatever is your preference, then feel free to do so. We'll be starting in about a minute. Personally, I prefer the old Christmas songs. I mean, I find the new ones annoying, but maybe that's just because I'm an old soul or something. Hi, welcome to Just Coming In. So if you're just coming in, I'm going to pop some prompts in the chat to get us started. But yeah, we're going to be starting very, very soon. But share something you are grateful for today and share a recent communication win of any kind. It can be the smallest thing. It can be something that happened today, something that happened earlier this week. As an example, communication win, I had a excuse me. I have a small child, and my communication win is when he was being really frustrating earlier. I totally kept my cool and just managed to show him that he's loved, and it's okay when he's upset. Oh, thanks, Joy. It's the lipstick. It's doing all the work, I promise. Brilliant. So yeah, in the chat, if you can think of something you're grateful for today, a communication win. And also, I'd love to know, how did you find out about the event? All right. So welcome to our masterclass. I'm going to get us started. So we've got quite a lot to get through today as people are coming in. Our masterclass is How to Survive Festive Conversations. And we're going to go over the superpower of reflect, connect, and recollect strategies. To be honest, this is an easy and awesome way to navigate any tricky social event. I just find it's a great event for this time of year, as we're generally all heading into often a let's say tender dynamics that can flex and trigger us perhaps more than usual, because it might be your family. So this 60-minute festive communication masterclass is for those with awkward families, household tensions, nasty relatives. Drop me a plus one in the chat if any of this is resonating for you, if some of your festive family life this year. Let me know if that might be you. And we'll do this in a masterclass style. So there's not going to be any breakout rooms or anything. You can just settle into your spot and keep yourself on mute, and you can have the choice to have your camera on or off. It really helps me if you have your camera on, because I love to see how things are landing with everybody, and it helps me know when I ask certain questions, like where I get the feedback in this way. I like to feel like we're in the room together. But if you want to have your camera off, it's totally fine. Whilst this event is offered free from us at Working With Voice, it is actually a fundraising event for Women for Refugee Women, a fantastic charity. And a huge thank you to those who have donated already. I meant to check the amount before we came in, but we're just over £100 already, which is fantastic. It would be amazing if we could double it, just saying. So if you haven't donated yet, there will be an opportunity for you to do so later in this event and towards the end, if you feel like it's something you would like to do. And we actually have Karenza here from Women for Refugee Women, and she's here to share a little bit about the charity's work and how your donations help and support the refugee women in the UK. Karenza, are you still here? Yeah, there you are. Yes. Great.
Lovely. Thank you so much for fundraising for us and for all of you being here. I was really excited when I saw the event, as my brother is, to put it politely, a bit racist. And considering the work I do, you know, we're just the most complete opposite people. So Christmas is always very tense in my household. And I am hoping to stay for the whole event, but I'm waiting for a solicitor to call, so I might have to dash. But just to let you all know, welcome so much. I hope you're all feeling a lot warmer than I am. I'm absolutely freezing today. We're a UK-based charity. I'm not sure how many of you are based in the UK, but we're based in London, and we support women seeking safety from persecution, gender and sexual-based violence, and other forms of torture who are seeking safety in the UK. We do this through three main ways. So we have our empowerment programme, which is all about helping women build their confidence and develop their skills and have a safe and supportive and welcoming environment where they can meet other women who have been through similar experiences to them. Some of our classes we have at the moment are English classes, yoga, radical knitting, drama. We have a Rainbow Sisters group for lesbian, bisexual and trans women. We have a writing group. What else have we got going on? A poetry group, lots of different activities. And this is really like the heart of all our work that we do at Women for Refugee Women. The next part of our work is like influencing. So we want to change people's minds and reach people's hearts. A lot of the media, and particularly the government in the UK at the moment, have a really hostile agenda. There's lots of scaremongering and use of hostile language, like illegal, and we have an invasion on our shores, and we want to change people's minds and show that these women are just like any of us, or men, and anyone who would need to flee for their safety would do, and we should welcome them as members of our community. And then this leads us on to like our final part of our work, which is about change. And this is probably the most difficult part of our work. So a lot of this is around campaigning and advocacy and trying to work with politicians and policymakers to create a fairer asylum process for women seeking safety. This often feels like banging our heads against a brick wall repeatedly, particularly with the government in power in the UK at the moment, but we're not going to stop. And actually tomorrow, we're all very excited at the moment, as it's our first ever Christmas party since 2019. So we're very excited. We have a traditional Christmas meal from the UK, but we've also got a African Christmas meal, sort of Nigerian, Ugandan, and then we have Christmas or festive snacks from other parts of the world. So most women are represented in some way, and all the women will have a Christmas bag to go home with. So we're very excited for 4 hours of non-stop eating and dancing and singing. But if anyone has any questions, please do put them in chat, and I'll put my email in chat as well in case any of you would like to know any more. And thanks so much, Thea.
Thanks, Karenza. And if you could just say a little bit briefly about where the donations go, or how they become part of what you're doing.
So the majority of our donations go towards the like empowerment part of our work, so the activities. So for example, £10 can enable one woman to join an activity for travel expenses and refreshments. £100, which you've raised already, can provide one woman with in-depth immigration, housing, legal advice to make sure that her case gets heard properly and she has somewhere safe to live. But yeah, most of it will go towards our empowerment work. And if there's anything in particular you'd like the funds to go towards, we can of course do that as well.
Thanks so much. Cheers. Cheers for filling us in. I'll leave you to drop those links in the chat, and we'll pop them in again at the end. Okay, so onwards and upwards. Here we go. So something I like to do at the top of all the events that I do is group us into each other's awareness and presence, if you like. So I invite you to do a very simple and brief breath exercise with me. It only takes a minute or so, and I always find it sorts me right out. We'll share how to do it in the email following the event, so you can do it for yourself as well. So don't worry about trying to remember it right now as we do it, just enjoy it. It's ever so simple. Three breaths, one after the other. Nice, long, slow, deep breaths in and out. And each one has a slightly different intention. I will guide it as we go through. But first, if you're happy to close your eyes, do, or you can cast your eyes down and you can keep your camera on or off. But close your eyes or cast your eyes down and begin to bring your awareness inwards onto the in, out of your own breath. And I'll start in a moment. Just settling your awareness inwards. So as we go through, we're going to do the breaths roughly at the same sort of time, but it doesn't have to be exactly. So here comes breath number one. Nice, long, slow, deep breath in. And as you breathe out, let go of everything that has been today already. Breath number two in your own time. And as you breathe out, let go of everything that is yet to come today for you. And breath number three, a little different, breathe in us, this event, the festive communication piece. As you breathe out, settle yourself here. And do that one again, settling yourself in even a little bit more. All right, lovely. And bringing yourself back to the group. Hopefully feeling a little bit more attuned here. Fantastic. All right. So how many of you want a more palpable sense of flow in their everyday communication and important communication moments? Drop me a yes or a plus one in the chat. Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. So at Working with Voice, if you don't know already, we approach communication as a way of being. This is very different from a way of doing and a kind of soft skills approach to communication. And I speak with people every day, whether it be friends or colleagues or clients who feel blocked in their business opportunities, dating conversations, giving talks, speaking up, blog writing, socializing, networking, you name it. And the most common thing I hear over and over is, how do I know what to say? How do I know what to do? And what if I look stupid? Right? I just hear that again and again and again and again. So my name is Thea May, and I am founder of Working with Voice and the co-creator of Voice for Life, which is our core six-month group online facilitated experience for those ready to embrace communication ease and empowerment as a way of being for the rest of their lives. My co-creator and I consider ourselves communication guides, and we reframe great communication as a way of being instead of a skill that you learn with your head. So it's a little different. You already know how to be it. Consider that one person or few people with whom you flow. When you forget yourself and communicate freely, no second guessing, hesitancy, insecurities, just speaking and writing freely. Maybe it's just messaging them. Even if it's only with your chosen favorite person, it's already there, right? With somebody. And clients tell me when they work with us, after working with us, that they feel so much freer in their communication and interactions with this approach. But perhaps most powerfully is the confidence that comes from knowing how you flow as you. This is not a carbon cutter thing. This is not a one size fits all. I mean, that would be insane. So this shift has transformed how people communicate in their day to day, as well as how they plan and prepare for really important things like high stakes talks, important conversations, maybe a conflict conversation, or even preparing significant pieces of writing. And our approach helps you find your communication flow in whatever it is, you, in whatever way you feel blocked or awkward. We help you move through that as you. So before we dive into the three strategies themselves, take a moment to consider what usually happens for you when with family or festive Christmas or festive work parties around this time of year. What sort of communication dynamics come into play? What communication tensions arise? What topics sometimes trip you up or cause you to tighten? Who do you really want to catch up with? And what do you hope for each time you gather with these people each year? Now consider how you generally respond in these moments. How are you showing up here? What is your most dreaded communication situation at this time with your family, colleagues, or friends? And why do you dread it? Just feel into it for a moment, because this is going to really help guide you as we go through. So if you're happy to, pop in the chat the dreaded situation or person, and perhaps a tiny little bit about why. And if you were to put a number to it, what number would you use between 1 to 10 for how you experience these sort of festive tensions and scratchiness with your friends, family, and colleagues? 1 being, I try to avoid it at all costs. 10 being like, yeah, I dive right in. I love it. Oh, yeah. Got some overcritical mums being asked to talk about yourself, thoughts, opinions in front of family. Totally get that. Just parents treating as if you have the same traits you did when you were 16. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Fear of being judged. Fear of confrontation, differing views. Yeah, that's a big one. It comes up all the time. Questioning about food or holistic choices. Yeah, right? They go like right to the heart of who you are and how you live. And it's no wonder that it then raises the anxiety levels, right, as you approach these moments. These aren't small things. These aren't flippant topics, right? They're really tender. My dad wincing when I speak. Oh, God. If you haven't already popped a number from 1 to 10 on how you feel about your festive interactions with your family or whoever you gather with at this time of year, please do so. That would be a great help. Thank you. And 1 is avoid it at all costs. And 10 is like, yeah, I love it. Bring it on. I'd do it 3 times a year if I could. I mean, if you're a 3 times a year, if you could. Maybe you're in the wrong workshop. I shouldn't say that because obviously it's lovely to have you here. All right. So the three strategies I'm going to share with you today are simple but powerful. And the best bit is that they can be used for any tricky or tender conversation, not just at this time of year. So do bear that in mind as you go through it today. So even when the strategy feels like an old friend, say you know it already or you use it already, stay present because maybe you might relate to it in a different way today. We're going to look at the dignity of deflection, the joy of connection, and the grace of recollection. Okay, I'm going to experiment with a poll today. I'm going to use my inner politician. So in a moment, you're going to get a poll on your screen. And out of these options, which one is the one you most want in your back pocket by the end of the workshop? So I'll read them out and then I'll pop the poll up. So you've got deflect unwanted probing questions from nosy aunties or uncles, for example, sidestep conversation bores with drunken relatives, slip out of embarrassing stories, lean into interactions you actually want, or enjoy chats with people you actually love to see each year. So here comes the poll. And ladies and gentlemen, we get live results. Okay, your answers are coming in. I feel like there should be sort of like like fun music in the background, right? I'm not that techie. Okay, so the strongest one so far is lean into the interactions you actually want. Well, this is nice. Connection is the priority here rather than sidestepping boring drunken relatives. So that's cool. All right, fantastic. Just out of interest, can you see the poll results coming in? Or do you just see the poll? Okay, good to know. I wasn't sure. Thanks, everyone. So yeah, the winner is lean into the interactions you actually want. And in second place, enjoy the chats with people you love to see each year. And then we have a deflect unwanted probing questions from nosy aunties. Brilliant. Thank you so much. Okay, so over the next, let's see, we've got about 40 minutes. I'm going to go over the three-part strategy, and towards the end, I'll share next steps on how to work together. If you're curious about that, I also record this masterclass, and in order to review it and always make changes, but also use it to share internally with clients I'm working with, and share the audio with you guys so that you can listen to it podcast style on your train to your family. So. Yeah, is that all right with everybody? Fantastic. So before the strategies, briefly, I want to share where the approach came from, which is Mind and Edith's approach to communication as a way of being. It actually started quite a few years ago. We've been working together for 6 or 7 years now. And I've been doing this communication coaching, speaking coaching for more than 10 years. And about 6 years ago, I was still loving my work, and I'd really got my skill set down. And I was plateauing a little bit. And then every now and then there was this completely different type of person who came into the room, and they had a whole different relationship with communication. And this brought the room to life, if you like. This person was coming in not just to get a promotion, but they were coming in to really learn how to be themselves. It wasn't about tick boxing for the next job they wanted to get, or to please the work environment or manager or whatever, and they weren't being sent by their manager. This person was finding me and wanting to be able to show up as themselves anytime, anywhere. They just wanted to break through that communication anxiety that was holding them back in every area of their life. And at that point, I thought, I think this is a thing. And I think this is what I really want to work with in communication. And so it led to me shutting down my studio completely and taking sabbatical. And at that time, I met my collaborator, Edith, who you can meet in and around our little world. You can see her on the website if you want to meet her. And we started working together. And she's a writer, writing mentor. And we realized that there was actually a whole piece between speaking and writing that we could, there was this congruent place where, what are the similarities here? What is speaking and write? How are speaking and writing similar? And create an approach that works on them together at the same time at the root. And so that's what we started to explore, experimenting on each other, basically. And the reason we experimented on each other is because my communication anxiety was around writing and hers was around speaking. We were really confident in one side, but we were very one-sided. We weren't confident communicators in speaking and writing. And this felt really important. So after a few years of exploring the work together, we honed in on 5 communication routes for communication ease. And that's what we have worked everything from now, the strategies I share with you today, the big 6-month program I mentioned earlier, one-to-one coaching I do with people around when particular areas of communication in their lives. All of that is coming from these 5 roots of communication ease. And the whole thing is rooted in communication as a way of being. And yeah, did we heal our broken wings? Definitely. I now love writing. I find it an absolute joy. And Edith is now much more confident showing up and speaking. So yeah, this what I'm going to share with you today is coming from that place. It's coming from this place of speaking and writing. So you can apply these strategies even to writing. It's a way of being, not a way of doing. Okay, so let's head in. Looking at the dignity of deflection, the joy of connection, and the grace of recollection. So imagine if you have a little switch you can flick or a curtain you can draw around you. It's not always your choice whether you have an interaction or not, but you can influence how it goes, or at least for your side of the interaction, because you can't really control other people, let's face it. So, yeah, here's how to wield this magic wand, if you like. So first, we're going to look at deflecting. So this can be used when being asked unwelcome questions that feel like they are full of judgment or ignorance. We had some of those come up earlier. The usual hotspots are themes like marriage, children, depression, gender and identity, race, politics. Those are the big ones. And it might sound like, when are you and such, insert partner, boyfriend, fiance, whatever, insert their name, going to get married or have kids or buy a house? Those are classics around a certain time of age. Have you got a job yet? How's the job hunting going? Are you still taking antidepressants? These are all common areas where family and others can sometimes overstep your personal privacy and boundaries. And there were some great examples when I asked earlier, what sort of things are you not looking forward to? And you can see how they're just in these really personal themes, right? So think of this strategy, this deflect strategy, as your personal space maker and your self-care in language. A boundary does not have to be an argument. I'm going to say that again because it's really important. A boundary does not have to be an argument or even feel like making a point. It can be as simple as a redirection, a slip slide away from what you do not want to talk about, almost like a sleight of hand in a magic trick. This way, you can save your energy for something more joyful, such as the people you actually want to chat with or the themes you actually want to touch on. So just to give an example of how the deflect strategy can come into play, while I was pregnant last year and this year, the deflect strategy became an essential part of my communication self-care. So imagine being asked literally the same question again and again and again and again and again. It got pretty tedious. And I also found myself getting pretty annoyed, even though it was coming from a good place and people were like being nice. It was around my due date and I was being asked, how are you feeling today? And I was getting several text messages and people asking me, strangers in the street, noticing I was heavily pregnant, how are you feeling? Honestly, it must have been like 7 or 8 times a day. Okay, so yeah, I was getting tense and flippant and arsy, and it's not their fault that they were caring. So it wasn't really cool that I was feeling being a bit arsy, really. And so I started to put in, I thought, well, what would I advise somebody to do? Oh yeah, I'll do that. And what I did instead was, when someone said, how are you feeling? Rather than trying to answer it or just feeling cross and tense, I said, I'm feeling great, thanks. How are you? And this may seem really simple, but it's actually very, very powerful. This deflected it away from my own Groundhog Day and helped me relax. And honestly, just this simple deflection made a huge difference and gave me some breathing space. I simply didn't want to answer the question. So I created a go-to response and then just made my curiosity move immediately towards the other person and ask them what they've been up to and what was going on for them at the moment. And it was just such a relief. So here's how to do a dignified deflection. Instead of shrinking back, offer a very light answer. And then open up your curiosity onto them by asking questions that start with, now this is key, what or how? All right. What and how are like a little secret weapon. They're so safe, and they kind of force your brain to get creative about coming up with a question. And they take you into open spaces, so you get nice long answers, which means you don't have to think of something else to say, and you don't have to have it come back at you for a little while. And if it, once it comes back to you, another what and how, send it straight back. What and how is basically you doing this. You're like some sort of ninja. It's amazing. So yeah, that's first. It could sound like, it's been okay. How has your year been? Or not too bad. What about you? I'd love to hear what you've been up to. So these are your what's and how's. Okay. So it's kind of like a game of, it's like a little game of smoke and mirrors. They think they're having a conversation with you, but really you're just helping them keep talking. Right? Another way you can do it is to drop in a gentle but firm boundary. This might sound like, thank you for asking. There's a lot going on there right now. I'd rather not go into it. Let's chat. Can we chat about such and such instead? Or how are you doing? So you bring in that deflect. Or you could say, I appreciate you asking. It's not something I want to go into, but I'd love to tell you about, and poke them onto something else. This allows you to stay in the conversation, but on the subjects that you actually feel comfortable sharing about. Remember, you are in charge of what you choose to talk about. That is always the case. Finally, you can even just get out of there. Wild, I know, right? But you don't have to stay in the conversation. And you can do this by using the natural lulls. I highly recommend using the natural lulls or pauses. These are like get out of jail free cards. Try simply saying in the natural pauses, I'm just going to nip to the loo or the bathroom if you're not in the UK. I'm going to go and top up my drink, or I'm going to go and help such and such in the kitchen. Right? These are all little get out clauses, if you like. And you can use those when. A little lull might be there's just a pause in the conversation, something else happens in the room, the attention breaks. These happen all the time. Or maybe if you're sat next to someone you don't want to sit next to, this is often often comes up at the end of a particular part of the meal. You can get up and go and do something. You can even arrange to swap seats by saying you'd love to chat to, can I have some time with such and such? So you can do these things and play like musical chairs around the table. So the main thing here with this final piece is be kind and save their face. You might as well. It eases the social dynamics. You don't have to be rude to be boundaried. And I know that that can seem like a hard pill to swallow sometimes. I really do get that. But by being communication flexible, you are making it easier and less fractious for yourself. You also don't end up having an argument, right? Gentler interactions can be a form of self-care at the end of the day. So do it for yourself. Okay. We're going to go into the connect strategy. And at the end, once I've shared the connect strategy, before we go into the recollect, I'm going to open up for a few questions. So if you've got some questions coming up about the deflect piece already, save them up. And at the end of this, the connect piece, I'll come and answer those. Okay. So connection, it really grows from intimacy itself, and intimacy grows in the details of how we resonate with and understand each other. So share what has interested you this year, what has been tough, where have you been growing and extending your comfort zones, what rocks your world and why, rocks in a good way or a bad way. So connection is really it's the bringing together, right? Deflecting, we've been keeping our boundaries, and now you want to lean in. And a lot of you said that you really want to lean in. And it'd be interesting to know what stops you, what makes it difficult for you to lean in. So these are some intimacy strategies, if you like. And to kind of show how they come into play, a client had their work Christmas event coming up, and they were dreading it, and so we spent a bit of time chatting around a strategy for them. They were feeling super awkward. They often do in group dynamics, and the festive piece just makes it extra edgy because it feels like it's somehow more important time to connect. At least that's how they felt. So yeah, we spoke about it in advance on what strategies they could use to connect. And what we did is we chose two specific people out of all of their colleagues. It was a work event that they wanted to connect with, and explored how they could do that. And by having these kind of footholds of pre-made choices before they went to the event, they were able to drop the anxiety, feel a bit more prepared. And in fact, they ended up having a lovely time with the two chosen people that they wanted to connect with. And so it just shows that overall communication anxiety, they struggle with social anxiety. By making some choices ahead of the event, they were able to relax into and kind of let go of the everyone feeling and just focus on these two people they really wanted to connect with. And so here's how you can explore joyous connection. And there's two different ways. Connection emerges from showing interest, right? If you are someone who finds it hard to connect, bring your awareness onto the other person rather than into yourself and how uncomfortable you might be feeling. Become consciously curious. They will often, the person you're speaking with or people you're speaking with, they are often offering you little olive branches, little cues of what you can talk to them about, ask them about. These come up all the time. It might sound like, I heard you say that you were starting a new course in the new year. What's it all about? Or I noticed that you've changed your look. It's fab. What prompted it? And although the second one's a little bit more personal, it can be really lovely to have someone celebrate and show interest in a big visible change you've made. Right? Another way is you can offer little olive branches of connection yourself. Right? So it's the same approach, but different side. Share a little more detail than usual so others can ask about it or might resonate with it. Always share as much as you're comfortable to share. Again, reiterating that you're in charge of what you talk about, and know that the details create the conversation and ultimately lead to connection. So by offering themes for them to pick up on, you also gently directing them away from uncomfortable places and towards safe ground for yourself. So instead of going, oh God, I'm so worried that they're going to bring up such and such, they're going to talk to me about this and that, tell them what you want them to ask you about by offering up information about other things that feel more safe and comfortable for you to talk about. Kind of put some olive branches out there, some groundwork, some lily pads, some stepping stones out for them to play with, right? It's just another form of boundaries. Okay, so those are the deflect and connect strategies so far. And I'd love to hear how these are landing for you. If you have any questions about them before we go into the recollect, which is a slightly different approach. It's more the philosophical piece, if you like. So let's pause for a moment here, and you're very welcome to come off mute, but do pop your hand up and I invite you to come off mute in order to ask a question or reflect something back. You can also share how this is landing for you. Has anybody got anything they want to share or ask about at this point? Enjoy, I see, is it joy? Or joie? you've said that you love it, which is great. And what is it that you're loving about the strategy so far?
I like how they're really simple and they're actually reflecting on it. I'm realizing that I'm really pleased with myself because I'm doing some of them already.
Fantastic.
I'm really liking the way that I love this idea about boundaries don't have to be hard. You don't have to be so defensive and protective. You can do it in a clever way, which is very natural as well. Just be like, oh, that's going okay. I don't really feel like reflecting on it with you right now, but you know.
Great.
Really helpful.
Fantastic. Anybody else? Thanks, Joy. Okay. Well, there'll be another opportunity to ask some more questions at the end. So I'm going to take us into the third and final strategy, which is the recollect strategy. The recollect strategy is a little different from the other two. Use recollect when you feel your edges start to fray. And so you're not sure if you're, it's not really about deflecting or connecting. It's more just like, I really don't want to be here. I'm feeling really, really tense. Oh God, there's such and such. I don't want to talk to them. Oh my God, they're coming my way. This is, it's kind of we're zooming out into the bigger picture here. This is about toggling your awareness a little bit, zooming your awareness out. Instead of focusing on the interaction or the person, allow yourself to sense into this bigger picture piece. What is at stake here? Is this the best place for a tense or difficult conversation with this person? How would you wish to respond if you were not being triggered? Or if you were not feeling angry, tense, awkward? What dynamic would you like to nurture here? So here we're kind of stepping out and we're just going like, tricky family. But what do I actually, what's possible here? Right? So it's the deflect and connect are very much on the ground. This one is a stepping back. All right. A few paces, emotionally, and giving yourself a choice. Do you continue with what you usually do? Maybe even have that yearly argument? Or do you want to explore something different this year? So you can do this with a three-step approach. It's pause, gather, remember. Okay? So this is the recollect strategy itself. And here's how to explore a gracious recollection. So I'm going to share a little story first, actually. So my co-creator, Edith, who I mentioned earlier, she has an extended family gathering coming up. And between them, they have decided, they have some huge, huge, mega, like family shattering differences in worldviews, religious views, political views. it's really a minefield. And despite the potential or big tensions, they have decided to meet anyway so that the family doesn't unravel. And what they've decided to do is to put an embargo, really, on those themes together, collective, as a collective, and connect even if only more superficially. And that's a communication strategy that one of them suggested. And yeah, too many families have been blown apart, and they didn't want their family to drift apart. So that's an example of kind of stepping back and going, do we actually want to do a family gathering? What's the purpose of doing a family gathering? Is it worth doing a family gathering? And if so, for what reason? Right? So this is where you can use pause, gather, remember. So here's how it works. And for this strategy, it's not an on-the-ground strategy. I recommend taking yourself away for a moment, even just nipping to the bathroom or popping outside. So here, the pause part, you'll understand why I'm laughing in a minute. The pause part is for you. So even one cycle of breath will do the job. But if you're feeling tense and perhaps argumentative towards someone, I recommend the much celebrated, and I've been told that it's made all the difference, the go F yourself breath. All right. This is how you let off steam. It's simply to breathe in all the frustration that you feel, kind of scoop it up. And on the out breath, remember, you're not in front of the person at this point. All right. On the out breath, you breathe out and really mean it. Really just like move that through. All right. And enjoy really meaning it. You're not saying it to their face, but you're really meaning it when you say it. Okay, so it's not a Zen Buddhist strategy, but sometimes it really helps to give someone the two fingers, even if only on the inside. You're so tense, cross, angry. You can't get past it until you've moved it through. It's as simple as that. Get it out the way. This part of the recollect strategy is like letting the steam out of a pressure cooker or moving the lid to one side on a boiling pan. You are still cooking, but you're no longer boiling over. All right. So, yeah, loving kindness and all that. But sometimes you've just got to sort out your own tension. OK. And I'm sure every single person in this room knows what that feels like. So bring yourself down from boiling over point. Next, gather. So now you use a second breath or set of breaths as a grounding sigh for yourself. Slow the breath right down. As you breathe in through the nose, and you can do this with me now, then breathe out through the mouth. And again, in through the nose. And out through the mouth. This is a calming breath. And now on that out breath, put in the intention of contentment, relaxation, a sigh of relief. All right. And even add a bit of sound to it. So breathing in through the nose. And really tune into getting into a good bath, being given a cup of tea, a beer at the end of the day, a hug from someone who really gets you. And you can do that for a few minutes or for as long as you need to feel calm and centered. All right. It works wonders. So you've taken yourself off boiling point and now you've started to ground and regroup yourself. Okay. The third piece, remember. So finally, feel into your family as a whole, or the situation, or the group of friends as a whole. What matters most here? Is it having a few hours together at this time of year? Creating memories for children? Enjoying the last year or so with elder members of your family? Healing family tears or finding new ways together? really open your heart into the greatest potential for all, what's possible. Once you settle on something, allow that to guide you as to what to do next, all right? So you've regulated your nervous system and now you're tuning into your inner guidance. Maybe it's to sit with a family member you usually avoid and ask them how their year has been with genuine open curiosity, with the intention to connect. Or look back at old photos with a grandparent, because who knows how long you've got? Or suggest playing a game altogether, because you don't usually do that. It's always serious and a bit dry. Whatever it is, come to it with as much intention as you can. You can always pop out and do your special breaths again if you need to, and come back in more regulated. But this three-part strategy of pause, gather, remember allows you to tune into some inner guidance, perhaps a little bit of wisdom to take you through what is normally a more challenging time and just find a different way through. But above all, as I said throughout, you are in charge of your boundaries. You never have to answer a question you don't want to. It's Christmas, not a legal interrogation. Let's face it. So seek out the wanted connection moments and let them act like a balm to the more spiky ones, right? Look after yourself first. Make sure you are feeling good, because from there will come the best communication you can offer. All right. So we're coming towards the end of the workshop. And just before we head into the final Q&A and any things that anyone wants to share, I'd love to take a couple of minutes to just share a little bit about what one-to-one coaching would look like if you wanted to pick up working on your communication next year. So yeah, in the new year, I'm coming to the end of my maternity break and I'm going to be opening up some one-to-one coaching spots. So imagine having your own personal communication coach, yours truly, right in your back pocket, all right? That's what you get if we work together. So as well as face-to-face private coaching calls, you can WhatsApp me with your communication queries on the go, and I'll be there to support you. This is a really different approach to perhaps usual coaching programs that are offered, where you turn up a particular spot and then you have some homework and da-da-da. And I decided to implement it in this way because life is communication constantly. And I find that having more of a dynamic interaction on a sort of day-to-day basis allows for the messiness of communication to have a little bit of holding around it while we work together. And people have used this coaching to help them find their voice in social media posts or content posts, creating a structure that works for them rather than a structure that is cut and paste. We arise that from how they like to work, how they like to communicate. And we do that by going back and forth and noticing what works for them. I've also had people prepare to start dating in their 40s after 20 years of marriage. And they're a bit like, oh my God, the digital era didn't even exist when I was dating last time. It's a huge life-changing event. Or begun to run meetings with a growing team in new and inspiring ways. Their team is changing a lot and they're not sure how to manage those dynamics. They're not feeling confident managing those dynamics. And we find, ways that work for them as a leader, for them as a communicator, rather like, here's how you do an agenda and here's how you run a meeting, because we're all different. So approaching communication as a way of being is, you can ditch communication as performance, no more fake it till you make it, drop the one size fits all. It's sidestepping the usual checklist, the usual list of tips, and nuancing everything towards how you communicate best, how you flow as you. It's a very different way of approaching communication. So if you do have questions about that, I've got some 15 minute spots in my calendar for a quick chat. There's a few of those left before I break for Christmas, but otherwise you can pick them up in the new year. And if you did enjoy this event, we have another one coming up in the new year, in fact, on the 10th of January. And that one's called Five Clues for Communication Ease. So that one's really looking into the five pieces that, you can create an action plan to develop the communication ease you really want in your life. These are five awareness shifts. Each one is a shift in how you approach communication. You'll be able to turn your awareness towards ease instead of anxiety, find your own way into communication ease, and weave how you communicate into the bigger unfolding planetary story. So again, pick up a chat or you can email me. I'll pop all the links into the end, but they'll be in the follow-up email as well. So we're dropping into the final Q&A. And it's been a hoot. And I'd love to hear how the strategies are landing, what questions you've got. Please do share with me. And we've got 3 minutes till the top of the hour, but I can definitely stay on until about 5 past if anybody has any extra questions. So yes, over to the floor. Does anybody have anything they want to pick up or share? And again, just pop your hand up and I'll invite you to unmute if you want to share anything, or you can pop it in the chat.
I have a question.
Hi. Hi, Cindy. Hi.
Hello. Recurring theme for me, my dad was very loud and opinionated and aggressive. And then a landlord that we had for 20 years, the same way. I'm very intimidated with loud men, especially. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of freeze. And I don't know how to get away and kind of set a boundary that, you know, you're too close or you're too loud. I don't know how to do that in a nice way without bringing on an argument.
Right.
I don't know if that's a quick question. Quick answer. Yeah.
I'd have a lot more I'd want to ask about that if I was to give a full answer for sure. But what I can say as a starting point is noticing for a start that you go into, did you say freeze?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you're going into freeze from the fight, flight, freeze, fawn response. And from freeze, what in order to get going again, you need to regulate your nervous system first. And that can be as simple as a breath or two. And then the next thing to do is the tiniest thing possible. That's it. So that might be take a tiny step back. That's it. Even just giving yourself that space, you're going to give yourself that space. You're not going to wait for them or push them with language or even presence, right? You're just going to, I'm just going to take a little bit more space for myself. That's the tiniest next step that you can do. Then that's amazing. So from freeze, all you can do is go into what's the smallest next thing that I can manage here,
mm-hmm.
right? And then from then comes a little bit more ease, a little bit more ease, a little bit more ease, until the point where you can do bigger steps more easily.
Mm-hmm.
Does that help?
Yeah.
Great. Yeah, I'd be really happy to talk about that more for sure. But yes, that's what I can say at the moment without knowing the rest of the information. Yeah. Thanks for your question. As we're just getting to the hour, I'm going to pop those links in the chat for anybody who wants to book a quick call or sign up to their event or donate to Women for Refugee Women. R's and W's close together. It's a nightmare. But does anyone else have any other questions before we clock off? And if you've got a pop out and on the hour, please do let me know what really landed. What's your main takeaway for you from today? You can pop that in the chat. That would be fantastic before you pop out.
I liked the point where you're saying, like maybe when you're stuck with someone and you just say, oh, I'd like to go chat with this other person. So I always find I really struggle to do that. Like, I feel rude, saying to this. It's like saying, I don't want to chat to you. But it's, it's great to hear that example. Yeah. And I wonder if you have any other, advice with that. How to do that smoothly without offending them.
Always say thank you. It's been really nice chatting with you. I've only got so much time here, or I want to make sure there's a couple of other people I want to connect with before I have to leave. And it's really about making sure that they feel how do I phrase that? My brain's just gone blank. That they feel like you wanted to be there for the time that you were there, even though you're going to go now. All right. Does that help?
Yeah. Thank you.
Great. Lovely. Anybody else? We've just come up to the hour. And as you can tell, you can probably tell, communication as a way of being is really about really your whole self coming into your communication. So it's regulating your nervous system. It is tuning into what you need. It is using boundaries as a much broader, generous way of being in a situation, redirecting in order to find ways to connect. Ultimately, it comes down to how can I connect here in some way, right? That's what is at the root of communication itself. It's ultimately about connection. So these are strategies for festive events, but also for other, pretty much any group dynamic. You can use these strategies. Thank you so much for your time and for coming today. It's been really lovely to have this time with you. And we'll be following up in email with some of the links that I shared today. And we'll follow up with the audio recording so you can catch these strategies again if you want to listen to them again. But if you haven't already shared your main takeaway in the chat, please do. I love to hear and tune and get a sense of what was the juiciest bit for everyone in the room each time I run an event. And it helps me to make changes to the event and prioritize certain things in the future. But in the meantime, thank you so much for coming. It's been lovely. It's actually been a highlight of my day today. I had a tricky day and this has been lovely. So I'm particularly grateful for you coming. Yeah. Thank you so much, everybody.
Thank you.
Cheers. Take care. Merry Christmas. Happy festive period. Whatever you choose to do, good luck. Go well. All right. Take care.
Thank you.
Bye.
Merry Christmas.